Good evening and welcome. Welcome on back to our itsy bitsy teensy weensy Saturday night show. And I'm Randy Corcoran, your pumped up purveyor of principled passionate patriotism. Sorry to miss you last week. I hate missing these Saturday night dates with you. Because, man, there's just so much to do, and one show is not enough to make up for 2 weeks. But that's what we get sometimes when other work comes along. And last week, of course, was the Republican State Assembly, where not only the Central Assembly and the Central Committee and all of the officers of the Republican Party in Colorado, but all the delegates, all the people who got elected through their local precincts and into their precinct caucuses and then into their county assemblies, congressional assemblies, etc., 2,000 plus assembled for what turned out to be a very, very interesting day. Of course, the big news tonight is that Iran has launched missiles and drones to strike Israel, and some of that's going on right now. Israel has apparently just released the statement that as far as Iran is concerned, take a breath, Randy. Okay. As far as Iran is concerned, the matter, this is a quote that I saw up on Cryon on one of the news channels from Iran. The matter is concluded. So apparently they're saying this is the only salvo that they will be launching tonight. The Iron Dome light show is going on in southern Israel. You can just see the flashbangs in the sky when another drone or another missile gets taken out by the Iron Dome. There is some smoke as well. So I'm sure something will make its mark, do its damage. The United States claims to have downed some of the drones. Jordan said that they would shoot any missiles or drones down that crossed over their sovereign airspace. But first time in history, the first time in history that we've seen this happen. Remember back in, what was it, July, I think, of 2018 now, a little over 6 years ago, when the Iranian president Rouhani had threatened the United States of America. A man by the name of Donald Trump was the president then, Donald J. Trump. You may remember him. And here's what he put out on Twitter at the time. To Iranian President Rouhani, never, this was all in caps. To Iranian President Rouhani, lowercase, colon, all caps, never, ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious. And what was it like in the Middle East during the Trump administration? How powerful were the Abraham Accords? How close was Donald Trump to knitting together a peace structure that I don't know if it would have lasted? I don't know if it would have changed the direction, the trajectory of what's going on there now. But it certainly was headed that way. It was historic. It was Nobel Peace Prize winning eligible. Of course, no one would ever nominate Donald Trump for one of those. And it was so very close until they stole the election. And more proof coming out on that. Georgia Election Commission has reported its own misdeeds from 2020, and we'll hopefully get a chance to talk about that later on in the show. We will keep an eye out on what's going on in Israel. And even if it's true that Iran, as reported on, I think it was Fox News we were on at that moment, watching Newsmax now, Iran said the matter is concluded, meaning this was going to be, I assume, their only salvo. Interballistic missiles and drones headed to Israel. And when they pop up the live view, you can see the Iron Dome popping up all over the place. But Israel is not likely to simply take this attack. I heard one operative, one former Israeli intelligence agent, talking pretty freely about what was likely going on as we speak right now, and that is Israeli intelligence in Iran, in Tehran, scoping out the situation, seeing who is where and where defenses are weak, thinking about, you know, missile launch sites and all of those kinds of things. I do not expect Israel to remain silent after this attack from Iran. Would this have happened under Donald J. Trump? About an hour ago, Donald Trump put up on his Truth Social, after reading my truth, which is what they call the posts on Truth Social, their truths. Because you can't call them tweets, right? And you obviously can't call them X's, because X is Twitter's name. But here's what he said. After reading my truth, and I'll have to go find that when this just popped up on my screen. After reading my truth, Biden's handlers convinced him not to release his taped speech on Israel. He'll now attempt to do it live, probably tomorrow. He doesn't want to leave his house with the Corvette in Delaware. Now, little tongue-in-cheek there, I think, because as far as I've been able to determine watching the news now, the president, putative president, creepy, sleepy, showered with daughter, Joe Biden. Hey, don't look at me funny. That's his daughter's diary where that was said. But he has been airlifted, I mean transported, to the White House, where they'll prop him up and probably pump him full of something or other if he's actually going to address the nation tonight, as some have predicted. But he is in the Oval Office with the, I think, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and this Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. This is exactly what you would expect. Exactly what you would expect after all of the sideways rhetoric coming from the Biden administration. How a Jewish person who loves Israel, even a lot of Jewish folks aren't religious necessarily anymore, just like plenty of Christians and other religions aren't particularly religious. But how can they vote for Joe Biden with all of these just disgusting and enabling messages about Israel must stop this, and oh my God, the two aid workers who were hit by a missile strike or drone strike, whatever it was, just how horrible that was. Look, America, when it is defending its interests, civilians die, mistakes get made. Do we hang our head in shame? No, war is hell. And of course it's tragic. You don't want innocents ever to be killed or sucked into war, but war is war. But they just berate Israel. And I can't imagine what the talk between Creepy and Sleepy and Benjamin Netanyahu must have been like earlier this week. What a horrible position for Netanyahu to be stuck in, having to deal with this weak, decrepit, addled, Israel-hating, bending of the knee, and showering with the daughter, so-called president of the United States right now. It is a pathetic situation that we find ourselves in, and very, very dangerous. Getting dark. I shouldn't say getting dark. It's, what, 2 a.m., I think. 9 hours ahead of us. Seven. Yep, that'd be 2:15 a.m. in Israel right now. And all of a sudden, over at least Tel Aviv, it looks very dark. But I don't see the lights popping, the IDF dome, Iron Dome light show going on like I did when I first sat down. Are we headed to World War III? Is this just Iran trying to flex a muscle and see what the response is? Is this coordinated with China and Russia where they're watching, they're posturing? This is a giant chessboard. We're all pawns on it now. And the power players and the globalists and the war machine are all chomping at the bit to see what happens next and what they can do next. Will Biden and his team provide any resistance to what Israel is suffering through right now. Your guess is as good as mine. And, you know, it is an election year. It is certainly possible that all of a sudden we'll see a powerful response from the United States. That always increases the popularity of a sitting or, in Biden's place, kind of wobbly standing president. But who the heck knows? Who the heck knows? So anyway, we will be checking in and out on that information. Donald Trump is scheduled to, I believe he's in Pennsylvania. I'll double check that for a rally. I imagine he'll have something to say if we can catch him. We'll pop in and hear what he has to say as well. But Alexa, almost always the first to text into the studio on any 710 show that I'm on, hosting, filling in, whatever. And I love it. Randy, you were missed. Well, thank you, Alexa. I appreciate that. Nothing happened at the assembly, right? Yeah. We will get into that and all of the nonsense. Oh, my God, the First Amendment's under attack by Dave Williams and the Republican Party. He threw out a purple-haired old lady Colorado Sun reporter. It's the end of the world. So much nonsense out there. He's been charged with campaign finance violations. A complaint has been filed. Months and months and months will go by before, in my opinion, I've read the complaint, it will just be dismissed as frivolous. It's a campaign move. That's all it is. It's an election season move. That's it. But back to Alexa, she went on, crazy to think that today could be the start of World War III. Even more crazy, the left always thought Trump would get us into World War III. I don't know if that's true. They always said it, just like they always said it about Ronald Reagan. Do the Nimrod robots, mind-numb, you know, followers of the radical left believe that? Yes. Do the actual leaders, the people who are paying close attention, did they actually believe that about Ronald Reagan? No. That was politics. Did they actually believe it about Donald Trump? Very doubtful. Especially after the first year or two when things really started to change around the world. Oh, the United States lost all of its respect. No, it didn't. Our NATO allies started paying their fair share. The Middle East quieted down and started knitting together the Abraham Accords. The border was the most secure in four decades or more. So much good was accomplished during that period. Back to Alexa. Man, I'm going down the rabbit holes today, huh? But it will likely be Biden, she said. I'm sure the deep state and military industrial complex are very happy about this. It is very hard to know. Just reporting Jordanian jets down dozens of Iranian drones. Good. Good. You just hope to God that none of these drones or ballistic missiles find their targets. I mean, just imagine you're driving around in, you know, you just bought a new Hyundai, you know, and the cars are cheap and excellent. I mean, cheap by today's car standards, but you get all kinds of great features in a Hyundai. And I don't have a Hyundai, but I know things about them. And you're driving around and you're feeling pretty good. And, you know, you're headed back to your just recently purchased home in a cul-de-sac, you know, two-bedroom home with a white picket fence and a little yard to raise your new family on. And all of a sudden, you hear on the radio, go to a shelter, stay close to a bomb shelter. Bombs and drones have been launched. We live, in spite of the chaos on our streets, the Democrat-induced homelessness, drug addiction, and crime, out of control crime, which is very chaotic, makes life far more unsettled here in the United States, but we still live in relative peace here. And we don't have to worry about missiles and drones flying over our head, coming through our window, landing on our roof. Can you imagine what that would be like? Living in a country, what is it? Come on, brain. At its narrowest, I think it's like 40 miles wide in one small piece. It's just, you know, you could, it'd be like lobbing a missile from Commerce City to Castle Rock to hit a target over there. It's just terrifying how naive we are because of the security that we've had, that we can be living in these times, and anyone, even the most radical of leftists, even the most rabid of Trump haters, even the most progressive of Jewish people, how they could consider voting for this, for more of this. And really, if you look at the polls, it looks like not a whole lot are considering it. So many polls that you can look at that show Donald Trump either beating or even in a New York Times Siena poll tied with creepy, sleepy, showered with daughter Joe Biden. This early in the election season, you take a look at those polls, I will bet you, not that I've looked at the most recent ones, but I've just seen this time after time after time, they skew heavily Democrat. That's why the left is so terrified right now. Got into a debate yesterday with somebody who told me there is no way that they get rid of Joe Biden. And, you know, obviously we'll see. Their convention is in August. I continue to believe, as does my friend filmmaker Joel Gilbert. Please check out his movie, Michelle Obama 2024, that they will drop Michelle Obama in at the convention to replace creepy, sleepy Joe. Joe's not going to make it this far. But there's just no, you know, it's interesting to debate, interesting to watch. If I'm wrong, I will admit it. Doesn't happen very often, though. But we shall see. Who will it be? And the other question I had for tonight, well, one of many questions, I've got John Corbless back behind the glass with me, thank goodness. So good to work with John every Saturday night. And by the way, that's no diss to anybody else who comes in, because I had some good help 2 weeks ago. But it's always good to run with your man, you know. But we've got some great audio, including Donald Trump's statement on abortion, which was very controversial for many. I'd be interested in your take on that. 303-696-1971. We're going to run to break. We can grab some phone calls on the other side, but what were your thoughts about that? Is that what was needed in order for Donald Trump to, you know, expand the potential base of voters? Is that what he really believes? I tend to think that it is. Can you live with that if you, like me, are adamantly pro-life? Compromise is tough when you're talking about protecting the unborn. But there is belief, there is principle, there is fighting for an ultimate goal, and then there is political reality. How do those things mix together as we race toward 2024? And what about all this controversy with Dave Williams and Republican Party attacking Deb Flora, someone whom I admire very, very much, just a wonderful, wonderful person. If you listen to the weak-kneed, soft-spined Republican establishment and their supporter folks, you always hear that it's doomsday, end of the world. I assure you that is not true. The enthusiasm at the state assembly, the fundraising, the decisions that have been made all bode very, very well for the future of the Republican Party, the future of the Republican Party. No more coffee for me. Future of the Republican Party, very, very strong. And Dave Williams defends his positions so very well. If you have any questions about that, Mike Boyle, you know, call in, man. Love to hear it. Dick Wadhams, buddy, I know you told me to go to hell at a federal courthouse. I don't know exactly why that came out. I did not say a word to you except asking you about Kevin Priola when the topic was people who run as Republicans govern as Democrats. Priola eventually flipped his designation to Democrat. Here we go. 303-696-1971. I'm Randy Corporon. Stay right there. Impossible to not recognize Crystal Gayle. Ready for the times to get better. Yep, I can sympathize with that. Anyway, welcome back. It is 5:31, and what a gorgeous, gorgeous day. Oh, my goodness. Harley was out today, got to ride up into the mountains to watch the grandbabies race. Grandson number one continues to impress, placing in multiple heats. I had to leave to come do the show before the final round, so I'll be interested to see how he does. He's 5 years old now. And remember back, what was he, 3.5, 4, at some point, at the end of his very first racing season, on the last day of the race, he brought home three trophies. One was for first place in his age class. One was for first place for his entire string of heats and races that day. And the third first place trophy was for the hole shot contest, which is where, you know, for all of you non-hot rod, non-dirt bike folks, a hole shot is where you pop off from the beginning and, you know, it's kind of like a drag strip on dirt. So the first one to the finish line wins, just a short straight run. So he is the prodigy. There's no doubt about it. Awful fun. But man, oh man, 71 degrees in Aurora, 74 over there in hell, because it's always hotter in hell, otherwise known as Denver. And it's going to be equally nice tomorrow, maybe 80 degrees. So get your sprinklers on, get your swimsuit out, get your sunscreen, maybe dig up the weeds, get the garden ready, whatever. 70 on Monday, and then we cool down, maybe even some light snow showers Tuesday. But we'll still get back up to highs in the 50s for the rest of the week. So, you know, it's that time of year, but man, what a glorious Colorado weekend. Meanwhile, in Israel, they're having to fend off drone and missile strikes. The U.S. is taking credit along with the Jordan Air Force for knocking out multiple drones. They're also jamming or trying to jam the GPS systems. And somehow, amid the Iron Dome light show, Iran has apparently come out and said, the matter is concluded. This is our response to what you did to us. You're welcome. But is it? Is Israel going to be done? Netanyahu said something about the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, being ready both for defense and for offense. And we just live over here in this bubble, protected by two oceans on either coast, two relatively friendly countries, although there is some question about Mexico with what they're letting come through their country to invade through our open, porous border. And, of course, Canada is becoming a socialist nightmare, but the people are waking up there as well. But imagine being the little country of Israel and your big brother, the one that's always created, and Israel is very strong, very smart, very powerful, very aggressive when they need to be, very strategic, very successful at almost every turn. But imagine when your big brother starts pulling their support. Gotta be a terrifying time. Would you go there right now? I would not. Something else I want to plant as a seed to talk about. Tremendous criticism I read of Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. And she, you know, she's called not a freeloader. What is it called when you... can't think of the word. But anyway, carpetbagger. Thank you. John, I knew I brought you to this party for a reason. Carpetbagger, and also being criticized, or at least reported in a negative way, that she is apparently not paying for her son's criminal defense lawyer. Her 19-year-old son, who's also now a father, his second run-in with the law, and Lauren Boebert is not. He showed up in court on his own, no mama, and said that he was having trouble putting the funds together for an attorney and that he might be applying for a public defender. The court gave him some time. The court also acknowledged the young man dressing up in a suit and tie for court. He said that, you know, the court appreciates it when people dress up for court. And I'll tell you what, I tell my clients, man, I mean, you know, if it's a careless driving, maybe you don't need to worry about it. If it's a careless driving and it's your fourth in a year and your license is at stake, you know, it's not too much to ask to show up in court and let a judge see that you are taking what's happening to you very, very seriously and that you understand and respect the law and the power of the court. No matter how you feel, it's a good idea to look sharp when you go to court. Free advice from the law offices of me. John, what does this text say? The Bible tells us to pray for peace in Jerusalem injuriously, which I have been doing. For peace in Jerusalem, I wonder what word. And they will pray for miracles there. Yes, they will. Good evening from Nebraska, Randy. You know, it all goes back to something my grandfather said when I was a little girl. He was a young man right after the Civil War. This was in, it's a little garbled here, but it says this was in 1960. It's what the Republican Party is, a grand old party, a party of rollover and get along. And they don't have a backbone like they needed Lincoln or like they need. Okay, I get it. And they don't have a backbone like they need to. Lincoln had a backbone. Amen, Nebraska. Amen. Republican Party founded to end slavery. First Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, did so. And yet, those who've been in charge of the Republican Party for so long have been so weak-kneed in their conversations, their communications, their pushback on the mantras of the radical left that somehow the Republican Party has been branded the party of racism. Such incredible nonsense. So, just checking in here, the Trump rally is still on hold, it would appear. Nothing has started. I wonder if they're adding some remarks to Trump's remarks tonight as a result of this attack by Iran on Israel. Would certainly make some sense to do that. And before we end this hour, I do want to just talk to you briefly about the state assembly, about the elections. I was reelected unanimously as your Republican National Committee man. That was pretty cool. Standing ovation at the end of my remarks that just shocked me. Made me really, really glad that I had finally decided to throw my hat back into this ring and really fight not only to elect Donald Trump in November, but to continue to expose what's gone on in our elections and to continue to expose just how dangerous the policies of the radical left have become. We're all living it. We're all seeing it. Tonight in the Middle East, day after day, round the clock on our southern border, day after day, round the clock in our city streets, especially Democrat-run cities. And it's nice to be playing some small part in directing policy and identifying what our party is going to stand for and joining the increasingly larger number of grassroots. You know, I'm a Tea Party guy who became a Republican to fight these battles with the only mechanism and tool that we have, now elected to the governing board of the GOP. And more like me are coming along. It's very exciting. We couldn't replace Ronna McDaniel last year. People who voted for her, like our current National Committee woman, Vera Ortegon, gone. She got slaughtered at the convention. 200 votes out of, I think, 2,200 people, something like that. And it, you know, it was sad to see because she certainly served with grace. She's a graceful, I think, hardworking person. Certainly when I was around her, she had a lot going on. She had worked her way into some significant positions of power, including the executive committee on the RNC. But I think her vote for Ronna McDaniel, I told her when she made it, I think that's going to hurt. It's going to cost you. And it has cost committee men and women around the country. And Ronna McDaniel wound up being gone anyway. And in the first month, under the leadership of Mike Watley and Laura Trump as co-chair, record-breaking fundraising, $66 million in March, the biggest haul ever for the RNC in any single month. And then Donald Trump, just one president, not three presidents, but one president, hauled in, what was it, over $50 million, put, just laid shame to Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, and Barack Hussein Obama's petty, minor, minuscule $29 million. Really fascinating. The chair of the Democrat National Committee was on TV on MSLSD, and he literally was praising, and I think this was before Trump's just barn-burning fundraising, but he was praising what he saw with those three presidents on stage. And he was saying that it was just an example of integrity and, you know, patriotism. And I'm paraphrasing it because I can't find the quote now. But it was just so embarrassing to think about referring to those three people, the crime syndicate leader, Joe Biden, with his drug addicted children and pornography loving son, and his classified documents strewn all over his garage and in all of his multiple offices, and his mumbling, angry, yelling, sniffing, whispering ways to talk about him as having some kind of integrity. Bill Clinton and his trips to Epstein Island. Barack Hussein Obama, who shoved Obamacare down our throats, the worst legislation. And never forget that when Donald Trump came into office, the repeal and replacement of Obamacare was a done deal, until John McCain, in his final fit of pique, waited till 2 o'clock in the morning as the last Senate vote, the tiebreaker, the vote that would have repealed and replaced Obamacare as he promised to do, election cycle after election cycle, raised millions of dollars off of that false promise. And because of his petty personal hatred, his thin-skinned inability to deal with the hard knocks of political campaigns and the names that get tossed around. And I didn't like it when Trump said, "I like people who win," you know, talking, or "people who don't get caught," talking about John McCain. But it ain't tiddlywinks, baby. And John McCain, as basically his last significant act, ensured probably the forever existence of Obamacare in our lives. I mean, you never know. We've seen things turn pretty quickly. Yep. But Trump is bad, and make sure that, you know, if you're a self-righteous Republican, that you announce to the world that you just can't vote for that evil, evil man. Look around you. Look yourself in the mirror. Think about your kids and your grandkids. Get off your high horse and realize we have to stop this Democrat-induced self-destruction. Be right back on 710 KNUS. Yeah, I know we played some of that song before, but I really wanted you to hear some of that guitar work in there. It was so darn good. All right, you've got callers on the line. We're going to get to those in just a minute. But right now, Donald Trump has taken the stage. Has taken the stage in Schnecksville, Pennsylvania.
And then he stopped, but then he started again. He went back to Trump policies because the price started going up so high. But the day after the election, First of all, if he wins, our country is going to be destroyed. The day after the election, if he wins, he will stop drilling and he'll go back to wind, which doesn't work. He'll go back to all sorts of things that don't work, and they've proven that when it comes to Biden.
All right. Well, we'll tone that down for now. We'll see if Donald Trump, we'll keep checking in to see if he makes any specific comments with regard to the attack by Iran on Israel tonight. Missiles and drones, and I'm sure there'll be some strong fodder for conversation. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on things. No real new news yet out of that, other than the Netanyahu statement that the IDF, Israeli Defense Force, is ready for offense and defense. And of course, we knew that. Here's what Donald Trump said about where Joe Biden is leading us right now.
So inflation is back. And a lot of bad things are happening in our country, but that's the least of it. You've got Russia could end up in, you could end up in a world war between Russia, Ukraine, and all of the chaos. And that's something should have never happened. It would have never happened. What's going on with Israel, October 7th, and what's going on with Israel could end up in a world war. We have a president that can't put two sentences together. We have a president that can't find the stairs off a stage. We have a president that doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And we could end up in a world war. You know, we have just a little bit less than 7 months now, months before November 5th. But that's an eternity when people are incompetent.
Yeah, and incompetent is the word. Here's what Biden said when he was asked about the likelihood of what's happened tonight between Iran and Israel of actually happening.
How imminent do you think an attack on Israel is from Iran, Mr. President?
I don't want to get this information, but my expectation sooner than later.
Sooner than later. Well, duh. But there was a stern warning in that same press event.
What is your message to Iran in this moment?
Don't.
Are American personnel and assets at risk, Mr. President? Mr. President, are American troops at risk as well?
He was wandering off stage. Now he's coming back.
We are devoted to the defense of Israel. We will support Israel. We will help defend Israel. And Iran will not succeed. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
What would trigger a direct
U.S. response? Yeah, and then he ambled off stage. But remember,
Mr. President, to Iran in this moment.
Don't.
Yeah, that was the stern warning. And last, real quick, before we jump to the phones, here was Biden and his cronies and their stern warnings to Iran.
What is your message to Hezbollah and its backer, Iran?
Don't.
Oh, thank God.
What's the message to Iran?
Don't.
It was very important to send a very clear message to anyone who might seek to take advantage of the conflict in Gaza to threaten our personnel.
Gaza?
Here or anywhere else in the region. Don't do it.
Don't. In Gaza. Now, it could be pronounced Gaza. I just have never heard it really pronounced Gaza, but let's jump to the phones. Check in. Yeah, only in Brooklyn, John says. Let's check in with Jay in Castle Rock. Jay, welcome.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. You?
Good. You know, it hit me this week that, you know, Obama is obviously running the show with his entourage of people, you know, for Biden. But we really got three presidents who are actually trying to get back into the White House, Obama, Biden, and Trump. It's kind of remarkable that they're fighting for control over this country.
Unique times, my friend. And one of those presidents is prosecuting his most dangerous opponent. Dangerous electorally, of course.
Yeah, just like the Gestapo. Going after him for... Remember, they used to... The Germans would defame your good name, you know, if you were a business person, Jewish person, whatever, and they'd put the paint on the door, shut your business down, come in and take everything.
It's amazing how history repeats itself, and especially amazing how people who claim to be, you know, sort of masters of history continue to put their heads deep into the sand.
Yeah. I mean, I have not run into one person that could stand up to at least the debates I've given them an opportunity to have that Where's all this coming from? Where are all these false claims coming from? And by the way, the thing that's going to happen this week with the porn star is absolutely asinine. It's not going to do any good, but they're going to keep beating the drum against a guy that probably could be elected in just a matter of months now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the polling as that trial goes on. You know, Donald Trump and his legal team posted that memo that we talked about a couple of years ago or more from Stormy Daniels, where she said it didn't happen.
Yeah,
saying it didn't happen because it didn't happen. You think that might have any bearing in an actual trial? Seems like it should.
Well, I hope the judge isn't as bad as I hear he is, but I hear he's horrible. His daughter's giving millions and raising it for the Democratic Party. It's talk about how I feel like we're in the Gregory Peck movie, To Kill a Mockingbird, right now. You know, where guys, you know, just absolutely being convicted falsely for rape against a girl, a black man. And here we are just kind of doing the same thing. And it's so sad to me because, you know, our kids deserve so much more than this. And, you know, you and I, you're perhaps a little bit older than I, but I'll tell you, we went through a whole bunch of stuff. I know during the court years, it was horrific. You know, it was just really depressed, 21% interest rates. No one really was happy about anything. When Reagan came in, really took him about 4 years to start turning things around. And that's what I hope for Trump or whoever, even if Trump doesn't run and somebody else runs in his place, it's decent, that they have a hope. And, you know, Obama, he's the one that started all this, you know, just absolutely has put us in such a horrible situation where one man and one woman is against one another because of the color of their skin. I never thought about that way. I never thought that way at all. I played ball during school and all the way up to college, and I never thought about the guy across from me was brown, gray, blue, or purple.
No.
I just wanted to knock him down.
No, it's the radical left that stirs up that hate, that divisiveness. It's part of the chaos plan, and unfortunately, especially with the help of the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media, it's very, very effective. Jay, we are at the wall. Always good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Call in
again and have a good rest of your weekend, sir. Hour two of the show. Stay with us on 710.